You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Welcome to the Antler Up Podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Antler Up Podcast. We're on episode 218, and I'm joined by running and gunning podcast host. I got Justin Sinan on the podcast, and man, really enjoyed this conversation. I had a chance to meet Justin at the Pennsylvania Outdoor Show back in February. Had a blast talking to him, catching up with him. We share a mutual friend in Travis. So if you know Travis Anthracite, Antler Addicts, he had him on the podcast a while ago as well. So, but mutual friend, and just wanted to talk to Justin. Really like what he's doing out there in the state of Kentucky. But we talk of various aspects of hunting, including shed hunting, early season whitetail hunting, and the transition from hunting in Maryland to Kentucky. We also get into really the value of building relationships in the hunting community and the importance of really enjoying the journey rather than just putting pressure on yourself. And, you know, especially if you're just chasing one specific deer. And Justin will talk about his journey a little bit and how he's evolved as a hunter over the years. And really, I can't stress that enough of letting go of that pressure. And then we also talk about really learning from the season and past seasons as well, and being okay with eating a tag depending on your goals. And we touch on challenges chasing mature deer, setting goals, the journey, and maturing as a hunter over time. And really, we talk about early season, you know, talking about glassing, using scrapes, and really casting a wide net. And it's really fun to hear Justin talk about all this. And, you know, we really concluded with a focus on adapting to different hunting styles and locations, and the challenges of hunting deer and turkey, and really the excitement we have for this spring. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Really, really can't thank you all enough for spending time downloading this, listening to it, sending some messages about some feedback with them. Really appreciate it. It's what motivates me to keep on pushing on and trying to create some fun episodes for you all. So appreciate it. Have a great week, everybody. Antler up. And one more thing while I have your turkey season is right around the corner. And if you are in the market for a new vest or heck, even a new modular system while scouting, then I think you should check out the Tethered M2 vest. This thing is the epitome of functionality, designed with military precision and really the hunting public's turkey experience and expertise. The M2 is a lightweight, quiet, and nimble featuring whisper tough technology. Really, the key to this piece of gear is how modular it really is. You can customize it to your style with Molly capability. Proudly made in the USA, the M2 comes in mossy oak bottomland camo pattern. And get yours now and choose between the expandable bird bag or the hydration pack, or grab both for the ultimate versatility. Elevate your hunt with the Tethered M2 vest, where quality meets speed. Visit tethernation.com and gear up for success. And guess what? It's on sale right now. I used the hydration pack last year, and I absolutely love that setup as far as my style that I was doing it. This year, I could see swapping out a little bit to the bird bag, but because of camera gear and other stuff, really when our season rolls around, if depending on the weather, I really like having that backpack. So check it out over at tethernation.com.
Spartan Forge stands at the nexus of machine learning and whitetail deer hunting to deliver truly intuitive and science-based products that saves the hunter time spent scouting, planning, and executing their hunts. You have deer prediction, journaling, and the best maps on any hunting app platform there is. Use code ANTLERUP to save 20% off your Spartan Forge membership at spartanforge.ai.
One. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show this week. I'm joined by none other than the host of the Running and Gunning podcast. I got Justin signing on. Justin, welcome back to the show, brother.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me, Jeremy.
Oh, dude, anytime, man. I was finally, you know, watching from afar. We have a mutual friend and from here in Travis in the state of Pennsylvania. And, you know, we had the opportunity to meet at the Harrisburg show, and it was just cool, man.
that is like the one aspect of, obviously you've been working a heck of a lot more shows than I have, but it's just so neat to when you finally put a name to a face and you're able to just shake someone's hand, do all that fun stuff. And I was like, all right, I can't wait to have Justin on and talk hunting and kind of let this conversation flow, but multiple, hopefully future conversations flow as well, man. So thanks, dude. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely,
out.
Brother. Likewise, man. Definitely. It was a pleasure meeting you there in Harrisburg. I know that show is a grind and a half. If you can hear my voice, guys out there listening, I'm sorry. I just got back from the Columbus, the outdoor show there, and my voice was shot, and I'm just getting over a cold from probably a week, but I feel good. So my voice is a little hoarse. You know, if I'm ranting, I apologize.
Yeah, no, man, you sound good. I like it.
No, good.
This is really neat, man. I got to ask you this. So you've been doing, you know, working with some companies, filming your hunts, doing things like with Lone Wolf Custom Gear and really, you know, doing things. I do want you to do a brief, I guess, little introduction, because I didn't know this until I heard you on a podcast. And then like when we talked and met, like how you were kind of from that Maryland area originally, and then you moved to Kentucky and all that type of stuff. But man, I got to know, what is your favorite aspect of like doing the things that you're doing right now? Like doing the podcast, getting a chance to work the event shows, like what is your favorite aspect among all that?
Man, you know, I appreciate that. That's an awesome question. It's definitely got me thinking. I think my favorite part of doing all this stuff that we're doing is kind of just how like a perfect example is like you and I. The return on relationship that you get from doing these shows and meeting people and just meeting a lot of people that we see online. And it's like, you know, we kind of get in this groove of, you know, liking people's stuff, but you don't really know people. And, you know, all of us are kind of, you never really know how to navigate through some people's egos or this or that. Most of us are all very good people and we all get along great. And I think that's my favorite part. It's just like, people that I catch up with online and then you finally meet them. It's like, oh man, like you feel like you already know the dude, but it's your first time meeting them. And I think I enjoy that a ton. And I mean, obviously, dude, just being, you know, doing this stuff and you know, kind of living out our passion and just sharing it with other people. I think that's the best part about it.
Dude, it's so funny because I do want to share a story. And so it wasn't this past Harrisburg show, it was the previous one. And I was working the tether booth and I had this guy come up and he bought something. I can't remember. And we plug in your phone number for a receipt or something along those lines. And he set his area code. And I forget how it got brought up because his actual area code's not where he is. And I don't know if he gave me somebody else's phone number. And I said, oh, 570. That's where I grew up. He's like, oh, I said, where do you live? He goes, well, I'm originally from Ohio. I live currently in Drums, Pennsylvania. And I was like, oh, no way. Like that was in the vicinity of, like, if you lived in Drums, you went to Hazleton Area High School. And I had a bunch of friends live down there. So I was like, oh, that's awesome. And all this other stuff. And we got to chat. We exchanged phone numbers. We messaged a little bit. And he's like, hey, man, like, let's get together, do a spring turkey hunt sometime. And I was like, yeah, sure. Right. Like, he seemed like a good dude there. You meet them for 10 minutes and, you know, you get invited on hunts. I'm sure you kind of experienced that same thing. And
absolutely.
And it's more so because of they're good quality people, not whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's starting to get turkey season last year and my buddy Albert, he messages me, we start talking a little bit more, we're getting closer and he's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm going to be going out to my family out in Ohio this time frame. And I kind of looked at it as like, well, I want to hunt Ohio next fall. So, you know, it'll make me buy my license right now. And I could go out and turkey hunt and get a lay of the land basically, and get a chance to know Albert and see what kind of person he is. So we drive separate just because of my wife was, we didn't know at the time that she was pregnant, but it was just making it easier if we drove separate just in case something were to happen where I needed to leave. I didn't want to be like, oh, dude, you got to drive me back to wherever, you know, because he offered to drive. So right. We drove separate, but on our way there driving the whole time, Justin, we were talking to each other. Like I'm tailing him, figuring out where we're going, but we're just chatting on the phone. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, it's funny though. As I said, my wife was like, all right, well, it was nice knowing you because you're probably going to be dead by the time you come home because you never met this guy before. You know what I mean? Just right. like who right. goes on a hunt that with someone you never spent more than 5 minutes with other than checking them out at the, you know, tether booth, basically. Mm-hmm. Dude, we're great friends. We message all the time. We talk all the time. And it was perfect little camp. And it just, like you said, I like that you brought up like the ego aspect of it because, man, like it's just it's deer hunting, but man, it's relationships. It's, you know, turkey hunting. It's about relationships. It's just it's all about, like you said, man, there's good people out there and it's fun to navigate through that because once you have I think a lot of people might have some already a notion about an individual, but once you get to actually know them, it's a total, right. it could be a total 180. And for the most part, mm-hmm. I think that's most of the cases.
Yeah. And I like kind of like after I brought that up, I was like, I probably shouldn't have mentioned that, but it's the truth, man. I mean, we all know it. And it's like, you know, some guys have killed some great deer and they walk around with their chest out and it's like, you know, who cares, man? Mm-hmm. Nobody cares what you've killed. It's all about just, you know, sharing the passion for the outdoors. We all love it. We wouldn't be there if we didn't all share the same thing. So
no doubt.
That's really, really my favorite part about the show circuit. And it is a grind too, you know, especially just talking. And
I'll tell you what, if like, cause for us, like the way I look at it too, for Tether, like at our booth, like we sell, like pretty much almost everything, as far as, product wise. So like with that, man, like you're hustling, like mm-hmm. it's not like that day I saw you, I was like, this is my first pee break of the day. And it was like 12:45, like 1 o'clock. And you're like, yeah, I know, me too, man. Like, it's just wild how some of those shows go and the work that actually gets put in by all the people that, you know, put it on and all that stuff. It's a lot, man.
Yeah. The old ladies are, you know, I'm sure you can relate. It's like, how come you haven't called me? I'm like, I haven't had a time to do anything, you know, from 8 a.m. to 2. You know, or finally, like, kind of like the wave of people have kind of like slowed down a little bit. But yeah, no, it is a ton of fun, man. I do enjoy it. And like you, it's mentioned, you know, making planning hunts with people in different mm-hmm. states that you want to hunt. It's awesome. I mean, I made a ton of friends this weekend, you know, that I'll probably have eventually, you know, kill something, you know, in a different state and, you know, return the favor for somebody else. So
I like that, man. So I saw you were out in Illinois earlier this year, doing a little shed hunting and stuff. What's that all about, man? Tell me about that. A
couple of weeks ago. You know, without getting into much detail on the area, I wanted to just go scout a bunch of public land out there. I'm a big shed hunter, man. I know some guys don't really care for finding antlers, but I'm a little obsessed with it. I love it. And Illinois, obviously having bigger deer, I was thinking, you know, that's going to be a good place to maybe get in to find some like real heavy antlers or something like that. I live in West Kentucky now. I should have done a little like briefing on, you know, myself, but I live in West Kentucky and we have great deer here. It's really tough to find like, I guess, amount of sheds here. I feel like coming from Maryland, I used to have some years where I could find like 60 sheds or more, and now I'm lucky to like break 15. So I just kind of was hoping to get into more there, but man, I think a lot of these deer are still holding. So I really put more value in scouting and really just trying to speed scout like this chunk of public versus that and get some notes down and highlight because I'm not that far away. It's about like a 3 or 4 hour trip for me from my house. So if I buy a non-resident, you know, tag, at least that way I can, you know, maybe hunt it more than just a week. You know, it's right. And
how
that's the game plan.
Do you know is Illinois a one buck state?
I believe so. Yeah. They said that you can buy another buck tag. I just found that out, but apparently it's really expensive. So for me, it's going to be a one buck tag. But now that I did the Ohio show, I'm like 50-50 on what I want to do. I mean, I could probably just go hunt Ohio and be just as happy, I guess. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm on the fence, man. It's kind of a cool problem to have, I guess. Like it'd be about the same drive to hunt either state. So.
Right. So here's, all right. So how long were you in Maryland for? Majority, right?
My whole life. Yeah. I just moved out here to kill bigger deer, honestly, and kind of escape the rat race of like Baltimore and DC traffic. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, you've been around there. Oh, yeah. You know what that's like.
Well, so that's what I got to send you some points of where I've hunted this past year and just see, what you're like, oh, I've been there, or yeah, maybe, dude, you're in the right area, but check this out. Die before.
Yeah, man, I'd be happy to help. Yeah, you, I gotta just send, let you, me know. Yeah, I'm not that guy to be like, oh no, you figure it out.
Yeah, you know? No, I just let you see where. Honestly, I was planning on getting to Maryland this year. Just this past year, I thought it went really well, and I was like, you know what? When I went through it, obviously with us having the newborn now. And by that point in time, the baby will be closer to being one because she was born on New Year's. I was like, okay, I think during this time frame of how I did Maryland, how I did Ohio, and obviously Pennsylvania, I'm like, you know what? It worked out. And I don't know if it worked out so well because of the quick success that I had in the state of Pennsylvania. And I have to be okay with being able to maybe eat a tag or something like that and either in Pennsylvania or one of those states again. But I will be hunting New York this year because me and a couple buddies are finalizing maybe something where we're going to do more things in New York. So it's like, okay, I for sure want to do Ohio because I want to hunt with my buddy Albert, who I mentioned earlier. And I obviously want to do some things with my other good friends up in New York and stuff. So I don't know about Maryland as much as I was kind of hoping for, but I really enjoyed it. And I like going out early season. So that was like kind of what I want to ask you about, man, because with obviously being able to hunt Maryland your whole life and now going to Kentucky to hunt, like you've been able to hunt early for whitetail.
Oh man, I'm a grinder. Like I'll say from Maryland, having three buck tags, a few times I punched all three buck tags and, but even if I did that, I'd still be killing does till the end of season. You know, I did a mixture of like farm country and suburban because it was just suburban, and where I lived at was really like the best chance at me getting into Pope and Young deer and like that upper echelon of bucks for my area within like a half hour drive. So I did that. You know, a lot of guys, you know, don't really care for the suburban hunting, but you know, you take it for what it is and you just have fun. And that's really my main objective. Coming out to Kentucky, it's a little different because you got one buck. So now I catch myself in this like picky, choosy kind of thing. But I've told myself this year, I am not going to be so picky. If I find like a 140 to 150 in velvet, I'm going to kill it. I'm not going to just, you know, spend all season looking for that bigger buck and then, you know, chase my tail all late season. So that's the mission. Kill one early here in Kentucky and move on and maybe hunt a couple other states. That's really the bread and butter of it, man. I love Maryland. It was a ton of fun to hunt there. And it really is a great state to hunt early, especially for you guys in Pennsylvania. There was tons and tons of guys hunting the public. When I started hunting real mobile, when I was a young guy, like right when I was like 18 to 20, I hunted a lot of public, and then they legalized crossbows, and it really, like a lot of guys from PA just were invading the public land where I was, because I was in Northern Maryland. So of course, like, I don't blame anybody. I mean, why not? I mean, you're right there, you know, you can jump down and hunt the public land. And for us, you know, having three buck tags, it's like, why wouldn't you want to take advantage of that? I mean, I would too, if I lived in Pennsylvania. So
yeah, I'm with you on that. And this is a great aspect that I want to know, Justin, from you, just because, man, we all, like we were just saying earlier, right? Like when we're saying about all the different people, thousands of people that you have a chance to meet, like we all have our own story. Okay. And I'm a big wrestling fan. So if anybody that still follows like WWE, because your kid's into it, you know, right now that like Cody Rhodes it's all about leading up to WrestleMania. It's all about his finishing his story. So like, it's like a nice little reference to that. Like we all have our own story of where we're at. Like this past year for myself was, I don't want to eat another PA buck tag, like regardless. Right. And I wanted to have that experience with that. For you, it could be one thing, right? And now next year, it could be something totally different for both of us. So with that kind of being said, Justin, I want to know from you, how did you get to where you're at as far as the type of caliber deer that you like to chase and get after, because man, like it's so fascinating to me. And I like hearing everybody's different perspectives. Like if you have guys that, man, they don't care. They've been hunting 25 plus years and they'll shoot whatever they want to shoot. Right. And I think that's important. Like people shoot whatever you want. It's your tag. Like I think it's cool what the OKS Hunter guys are doing over there, because it is like, I don't care what you do. And not to go down like a rabbit hole real quick, but that's the beauty of the quick explosion of social media now, mm-hmm. is that like it's forgotten so quickly. You know, I think years ago when it was first kind of picking up, like if Justin killed this 170, we knew about Justin for a while. Now it just seems like there's 170s every other day. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like no one remembers, no one cares. So like the beauty of that though is then you're still chasing your journey, right? Your story, you're still working on that. How did you go from Maryland and like you said, man, like going to Kentucky because you wanted to hunt big deer and all along those lines, and like you're like, hey man, the first 140 velvet that I would see, I don't want to be chasing my tail and late season, all that stuff. Like I love to hear that aspect. So like, I don't know, man, like if you want to elaborate, if you can, there's not really a question there. It's just, how did you get from your story from where you're at to where you're at now, basically, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Man, I really just kind of fell into, I was a meat hunter forever. I've been a diehard hunter since I was 12. And pretty much from that time frame, from like 12 to let's call it like 18, 19, I was just killing everything, like whatever. I didn't care. I enjoyed it. I loved it. As often as I could be in the woods, I was either riding dirt bikes or killing deer, and that was it. And it graduated into, I was dating, and I'm going to go like just through a little story, but just quick and short. But I was dating a girl at the time, and she lived kind of on the outskirts of like a Baltimore, like county area, not to like name drop, but anyway, so I took a dirt bike ride through the woods and I came across 3 Pope and Young deer on a dirt bike ride, one trip. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never seen deer this big, you know, in my life. So I started, you know, knocking on doors and I got permission from people and, you know, I started missing giants, and I'm talking like big deer. And I was always mobile. Like here, you know, here's some sign. Let's set up and hunt here and see what happens, and then we'll adjust. And that was how I was raised. You know, I never thought I always thought that's how you hunted. So I was very good at like picking the right tree and understanding woods a little bit better than maybe some other guys that just start off without a mentor, I guess. Well, I sucked at shooting deer. So I missed all kinds of big deer. I missed a booner, legit like at 20 yards, and it broke my heart. And the year after that, I came back with vengeance, and pretty much, let's just fast forward. That was a 12-year span. I knocked down a Pope and Young every year for 11 years. And you know, I met my wife because of one of the deer that I killed. It was a really, really nice 10. And that was probably year one to kick off. I killed like a 130 and a 150 and 8. And, with like 2 weeks apart, man. And it was just phenomenal. And so that's where I started. Right. So I killed this mega giant for Maryland, which would be like a booner in, you know, Kentucky or Ohio. And man, I just was chasing that demon, you know. It was like, oh man, like so I got more progressive, and I wasn't like dead set, like, oh, I'm not going to shoot anything unless it's over this caliber. It was always like, let me get a mature deer in front of me and I'm going to kill it. So I always tried to pursue the biggest deer that I could. And that was pretty much where it went from. It all stemmed from that. And then I kind of got in this phase where I really couldn't get anything bigger than, let's call it like a 135 to 140. It was just really tough for my area. And I started going to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, trying to pursue bigger bucks. And it was just really tough, man. And then, I guess, you know, a couple years before I moved to Kentucky, I started working in Washington, D.C. And it was like soul stealing to me. And I started brainstorming, and I'm like, you know, how can most affordable way for us to, you know, we could sell our house and we can move and, you know, kind of, you know, relocate our family. I had two young girls at the time. I had like my youngest daughter was maybe 8 months at the time. Let's do this before my kids go to school. And we found a place out here. I picked an area on the map and it was just a dynamite area for Boone and Crockett entries. So that's really where it stemmed from. And then as I got here, it was tough. I hunted a lot of public land and then I started obtaining permission. And that's just really been my goal, Jeremy. Like every year I just want to try to find the biggest buck that I can and do the most scouting that I'm able to do and just go from there. And this year I really wanted to pursue more of the out of state stuff so I could start punching multiple buck tags, you know, again, because I missed keep hunting. Cause I've always had that mentality to like grind through the season and hunt from September to, you know, February, you know, as long as I can.
America's Best Bowstrings is dedicated to crafting the finest custom bowstrings using top-notch BCY fibers and their exclusive building process. Here's why ABB stands out. Unmatched quality, known for exceptional durability and performance, experience no peep rotation, no creep, and no serving separation. Tailored for any bow. Performance guaranteed. Trust ABB to deliver a bowstring that not only meets but exceeds your expectations. New for 2024 is the Launch Series, designed for the most demanding bow hunters and archers, setting a new standard in durability and performance. Here's what sets Launch apart. Fully pre-stretched strings for total stability ensure an industry-leading performance every time you draw your bow. Exclusive 452 XE fiber. Crafted with exclusive fiber, Launch bowstrings provide unparalleled strength and resilience, making them the go-to choice for serious archers. 2-year warranty, free shipping on orders over $199. Order your set today over at americasbestbowstrings.com and use code AU10 to save $10 off your order.
So that's really where it's from, man. And now I'm at the point where I don't care about killing, you know, I've here that are, you know, in that caliber that I'm and share the experience with other people. And, you know, I know that Boone and Crockett is going to come with time. I'm for sure I'll kill one. But I'm just kind of done putting the pressure on myself. And I feel like I've kind of checked myself on that, you know, this year. It's just, there's so many outside sources and it's like, what are you hunting for, man? Like, you know, surrounding myself with mega giant buck killers, you know, every year. And it's almost like there's this little category in between where you got like buck shaming and like, dude, I've killed great deer and like, I don't care what anybody kills. Like, I want you to love the outdoors. Happy to answer anything and help you along your journey, but don't put yourself in somebody else's category. You know, just Ryan Glitzky's a perfect example of that. Like, you know, he's killed huge deer and he killed a good deer this year, but he even said, it's like, yeah, it's not a giant, but I was happy with it, man. And it's my buck tag. And I love that. And that's where I'm at right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, dude, it's funny to hear that. And it's about the experience as well. Like what you endured during that moment, like that heat of the moment, what was going through your mind. And I love to like what you were saying, like just love the outdoors. And like the minute that I let that happen again, I guess you could say, it's not that I lost it, but it's just like how you said, man, like when you stop putting pressure on yourself or you could care less about what people think, man, the good things happen.
Like, right. We all need to kind of let that go. And I think social media makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. And film, you know, I guess maybe it's just the niche category I'm in with filming and, yeah, you know, it's pressure I put on myself. That's unnecessary.
Are you okay with like eating a tag and learning from a season and stuff like that? Cause like, for example, like Bo Martonic, who I respect the hell out of because of what he does. And obviously if you're listening, we just had Bo on. And he talked about how his Pennsylvania gear was, he got in on it. Like he was in on deer. Maybe he didn't fill his PA tag for the first time in a while, but like he mentioned, he goes, man, this was one of my most successful years because of how I put myself in positions. And I echoed that because my last year, I was probably the most mature deer that I was around. I just didn't have those shot opportunities. And I had some really cool experiences. I learned, I used what I learned in the season, took it into the postseason because I had a crap ton of time to scout and do things. And then I had a great year. So I told him, I'm like, dude, I guarantee you I'm going on record right now. Next year, you're going to be slamming. I just told him, you know what I mean? And so like with that, dude, like, are you okay with, you know, like, hey, if I'm chasing this and I maybe not a specific buck, you might have a buck that you're for sure going after, but then you might have your next tier, I guess you could kind of say. But then after that, if you're like, you know what, if I didn't have that encounter, as long as I learned something, I'm okay with that. Are you, is that where you're at too as well?
It's really funny. I feel like I'm on the exact same page as Bo. Like I had, and you too. I had the best season ever as far as buck encounters, mature buck encounters. I ate a tag for the first time in 11 years, like I said, or 12 years. So I wounded a great buck this year. And I mean, that hasn't happened in a long time. And I don't beat myself up about it. It was really a borderline, like, should I have taken the shot? Should I not? And it is what it is. And I learned a ton. I also passed some great deer that, you know, younger me would have been absolutely floored to kill. So I don't look at my season as a failure, even though I didn't punch a tag. And yeah, I'm totally okay with it. Every year I just try to learn and grow. And, you know, I think that's just part of maturing as a person and a hunter, you know, like our, like we had mentioned earlier, our journey and where we're at with things. And yeah, there's, I don't think there's anything wrong with eating a tag, man. If you're really truly pursuing mature deer and like what your, you know, what your goals are, and you're being true to yourself and staying true to your goals, you're gonna have a season you don't kill a buck. It's a given. And who cares, you know? Like, I mean, I'm very fortunate, man. I have a ton of great deer that I have killed, and like, it's totally okay with me if I don't kill one year.
Yeah.
I mean,
like you mentioned too, about Glitzky, man, I'll tell you what, man, you want to get a tearjerker, go read that post of him killing that buck, because he talks about his father walking up to it and puts things in perspective. And man, that's it hits home for a lot of us guys that we grew up maybe with or being introduced with a, like some form of a father figure in our lives, whether it's an uncle, grandfather, father, or, you know, brother, whatever it be, man, that's going to tear jerky. And that's why again, another individual that I highly respect, have had on the podcast, finally got a chance to meet as well at the outdoor show this past year. We always kind of missed each other with all these different events that we know we were at, like a PA TAC event or something like that. I'm like, dang it, I miss Ryan again. But
he's one of my favorite people in the industry. He is just salt of the earth, man. Yep. Such a good guy. I wish like we could all kind of be, you know, like him at one point when we get to that tier. It's like, he's just super humble. Really, really love being around that guy, man. Yeah,
I'm with you on that one. But all right, so I want to kind of go back to something when I asked you about, obviously you love hunting early season and having those opportunities. So I always think back to either some form of like video game or anything along those lines, Justin, where like if you're about to play, I don't know, like NHL hockey or something like that, you get like 3 power boosts attributes to add on to while you're playing your game, man. Like, what are your 3 hunting attributes that, like, if you're like, okay, I'm starting the 2024 season, I gotta have these 3 attributes ready to rock and roll, what are they? Hunting early season, are you like how you're saying mobile, what? And you could elaborate on each one as you could think about it.
For me, being here, Kentucky's one, it's really just the area we're in is kind of tough. I really try hard in early season to locate these deer, using mineral is one thing. Some guys kind of, you know, will say what they will about that. I'm not a big guy to use bait. I don't like, I'll use it for inventory, at certain points of the year, but I don't want to hunt over a corn pile. I like killing deer naturally on their movements. So I really focus on glassing a lot more now in areas that I can. And I'm learning a ton about scrapes. I would say glassing, using scrapes to my advantage, and then really just casting a wide net across all the private and public lands that I have to try and just build that inventory of bucks up. Like I said, I'm trying to find the biggest buck I can for my area. And it's really tough, man. I feel like every early season have the, you know, the caliber that I'm looking for. And like prime example, this season, I had a really good 8-pointer, and he looked like the camera perfectly cool. And I let him go, 'cause I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't want to end my season on day one on that, you know? And like selfishly, like other people will be floored too. And like, and that's awesome. But I just, you know, I put a lot of work into it, man. And I really hate to end my season, especially, you know, when I'm able to hunt as much as I am. I've kind of revolved my life around this with like my job and being able to give myself optimal time in the woods. So I spent all late season trying to kill this buck that I passed all early season, and he kicked my ass, man. I mean, like, it was so much fun though, Jeremy. I had a blast trying to hunt this deer down. I mean, it was like everywhere I go, it's like I'm just smacking him on the ass. Like everywhere we would just ping pong this farm, and it was just fun. I honestly laughed one time. I'm hunting this one area that he's kind of frequented, and I'm like, I feel like he's in here. There's rubs everywhere. I'm like, this is his area. So I'm hunting in there, and he pops up on the other complete opposite end of the farm in the field. And I'm like, I'm up on a hill elevated, and I can kind of see the field like through the timber. And I see a couple deer come out in the field, and I pick up the binos, and I'm like, you gotta be shitting me. like why, dude? Come on, man. And then, you know, the next day, so I'll go over there and I'll hunt the field, and then he's back where I'm at. And it's just mouse. Like, but that's what makes it fun, man. I love a deer that gives me a challenge instead of just giving it away the first or second sit. And it's more fun. You know, they teach you a lot more.
Yeah, dude. So it's kind of cool though, like how you were saying about Maryland, like there's parts of Maryland that resembles the state of Pennsylvania pretty well. And then there's parts of Maryland that's, like you said, even depending on where you're hunting in PA too, outside in the suburban areas, you have that. And then you go out to Kentucky, man. Now you're hunting farms and all that type of stuff. Do you finally feel like you got a grasp of that style of hunting and kind of that way of life out there?
Yeah, it was really different for me, man, because I was able to hunt a couple farms, but it wasn't really like they were big farms. Like I never was able to obtain like even a 100-acre farm to hunt. I just never got permission to do that. It's really gung-ho where we were, because the county I lived in, most of the farms there really didn't hold many big deer anyway, because it was kind of like if it's got a rack, it's getting shot, you know, around there. And when I came here, it was just, man, like I got access on a 300-acre farm, a couple 100-acre farm here or there, and access is everything here. And I learned real quick, like these deer are, it's a whole nother world of hunting. And I kind of hate, like, and you know, this is an unpopular opinion, and you know, some people have mixed emotions about this. It's like, oh, private land's hard to hunt. Oh, public land's hard to hunt. Dude, deer are deer. Exactly. Okay. And
I'm with you. Thank you.
I'm telling you right now, Jeremy, the easiest buck I've killed in all my life of hunting was on public land. Uh-huh. In an unpressured area. I passed him the first time that I went in there, and I went back in one other time. I didn't see him. Went back in the third time to let a friend of mine kill him. And he came out and he was like, no, you kill that deer. I'm like, okay, got it. So he was extremely predictable. And like, I tell people that, I'm like, dude, like cut the crap, like mm-hmm. private land, public land, it doesn't matter. Deer, like we deer. All got our own challenges of what we're doing. And this year I was handcuffed because I'm hunting a private land farm. I know where the buck's bedded. He's on the neighbors. I can't hunt him. So I never killed the deer. If it was a piece of public, I would have dived in there and maybe killed him or maybe not, but I would have blown it or killed the deer. I can tell you that. So, you know, I feel comfortable in hunting farm country, but it's a challenge, and I'm absolutely still learning. It's like, I feel like I'm a well-versed hunter. You know, I've got a lot of different terrains that I've hunted, and flat and hill country and hills and hollers, and it's good. And that's kind of why I want to push into out of state, because it's a great test mm-hmm. for where you're at. And, you know, if just like any sport or any activity you're good at, like you want to get good at something, make yourself uncomfortable, right. you know, and that's kind of my motto and where I'm at right now.
Dude, I love that, because that was kind of, it's funny because when I went to Maryland first, and the places that me and Albert hunted when we went out there, we kind of got, I was like spinning heads, because it was more of ag and it was flat. It was just totally different than what I was used to. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm getting my butt kicked. And he's like, all right, we're going to go up closer to home to the state of PA just to make the drive easier on our last day. And I was looking at the map where we were going. I was like, dude, I'm going here because I guarantee you I'm going to find something. And like, as soon as we went there, I had an encounter after the rain with a nice big 10 point. Just, he caught me before I could make a move on him, which was crazy. Like he was walking through, looked up and spotted me, just bolted out. I was like, dude, this is day two. What are you doing? You know what I mean? It was a really cool encounter, but I was familiar with that terrain. And then we go out to Ohio farm, kind of, you know, little rolling hills. Again, my head was spinning. Now I have a pretty good understanding. Like I knew where deer were going, but it was just like you said, the importance of access and things like that. It's cool because, man, like you said, when you go out to these other states and you get a taste of where you're at skill wise, where you can improve upon and how you could bring things back to where you're hunting. That's been the fun part of aspect of like, I'm like, now, man, yeah, I had a good fun year, but there's other things I could improve on, and let's get to it. Yeah. So that's, I love that. And that's why too, I brought that up, because I do consider that you a well-diverse hunter, being able to go from Maryland, doing the things you do, other states, and then going to Kentucky, that aspect of things. And that's where I was going with that, because man, it is challenging, because it is not easy. Like for people, like you were saying, that's what I'm so thrilled you said private, public, it doesn't matter. Both, you're hunting deer. You're hunting something that wants to live. You have to be inside their bedroom.
Right. I think our main mission is to kill a mature deer, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever area they're living in, they didn't get old by being dumb, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. And that's where we get to the whole ego thing with, you know, it's like this guy or that guy, oh, well, I'm better than you because I hunt public land. Like, good for you, man. I'm proud of you. You know, but
I stopped talking about the one buck that I've been chasing. My dad and I have been chasing the last like 5 years, because people are like, you haven't killed him yet. I'm like, dude, no, there's like that mountain is enormous.
Slack, man.
Yeah. It's like, it's enormous.
Right. I was talking and it's also funny when I brought Travis out here, you know, I bring him out and he's like, whoa, he's like, this is weird, you know, because he's been hunting, you know, hill country and or the mountains in PA, and I bring him out here to farm, and I'm like, here, man, this is where I would, you know, set up. Like, you do your thing. I'm not telling you where to hunt. I'm just giving you like an idea of, this is like, here's what the wind's doing, and this is what I would do. And he's like, man, it is different out here. And I'm like, yeah, it's just weird, because I've got a really diverse terrain where we're at. You can go a half hour one way or the other and get into flat country, hill country, a little bit more mountainous, public land. So it's a really cool area to kind of test your skills, and whatever you really want to do, you can do it here.
Take the guesswork out of building your own arrows for this upcoming season by ordering a custom set of arrows from Exodus Outdoor Gear. They have developed and sourced literally the most precise archery components on earth to build a tailored arrow for your hunting adventures. Just head over to Exodus's website and plug in your specifications in the arrow builder and have your custom set sent straight to your door. You have two arrows to choose from, one being the MMT arrow, which is a 2.46 diameter shaft, and the new NIS, which is a 2.04 diameter shaft arrow. Use code AU to save 15% off your tailored arrow order at exodusoutdoorgear.com.
That's pretty neat, man. What else have you got on the docket coming up now for spring and all that stuff for yourself?
I'm going to start slaying some turkeys here soon. Nice. I'm excited for that. I'm still mad at them. You know, I don't know if you saw the video of me getting attacked last year at the Illinois Deer Classic, but I've still got a vengeance for birds. So I've got a couple. I'm really looking forward to it, man. This should be a really cool spring. Hopefully my wife will still accept me after this spring, but I got like three buddies coming down to hunt. So should be a ton of fun. And we have a ton of birds to hunt. So dude, nice. I'm pretty fired up, man. I was listening to them this morning before we hopped on here.
Nice. Yeah. We, this spring for me will be a little bit different. I talked with Byron about it on the podcast. Somebody messaged me like, what's your spring turkey schedule look like? I'm like, oh man, honestly, it's like one weekend in Ohio. It's the first weekend here in the state of PA. And then there's the next following two. I got two archery 3D shoots where one of them's like for fun with a buddy. Then the other one is actually, I'll be entering for like money, I guess you could say, like try to test myself, see what I could do, how bad I suck. And then, and then the 25th, my daughter has like one dance recital, so I could get out then, but that's like towards the end of the year already for that. So unless I'm going before work, man, it's like, I got to make it count those first opening day weekends. So I'm going to be hitting it hard that opening morning for sure.
I feel like that's the best time to do it, man. Oh, yeah. Then before everybody else kind of boogers them up. I've learned that from hunting here. We have way more turkeys in Kentucky than we do in Maryland. And where I lived in Maryland, it was really tough. I cut my teeth turkey hunting with a bow on public land because that was the only place that was close to my house that actually had turkeys that I could hunt. So coming from run and gun style hunting turkeys with a bow on public land to hunting them here was a whole nother world. And there's just way more birds. It's way more fun. And I love it, man. It is an absolute blast. Yeah. Either hunting them in the fields or, you know, you can hunt them in the hardwoods, but I have a lot of farm permission land and there's just so many birds. It's like, I have a hard time kind of reverting back to the old ways, but I really want to do that this year. I want to kill at least one of my birds kind of run and gun style, like with the shotgun and, you know, setting up and bouncing ridges. And I have a ton of fun with that, man. That's kind of the way I used to do it.
Yeah.
I was really fortunate, man. My first turkey I ever killed, like small story, and not bragging whatsoever. It was just crazy, stupid luck. The first turkey I ever killed was with a bow, and it was on the ground, like no blind, and ended up being a state record turkey. Yeah. Like my buddy was like, dude, you got to get that thing mounted. Like that's a hammer of a bird. He had like inch and a half spurs, inch and 5/8.
Wow.
And, I was like, you know what? I think I will, man. It meant a lot to me because I hunted for years. Nobody taught me how to turkey hunt.
Yep.
I was all self-taught. So it meant a lot. My taxidermist was like, dude, you ought to get this thing, you know, you ought to enter it. Like, he's like, I'm telling you, this is a huge time for like, I've mounted a bunch and I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, I was like, I don't care, but we'll just see what he does. And then they came back. It was like, oh, archery state record. And I'm like, wow. Like, what are the odds of that?
Dude, that's gnarly. That's so cool. I this past year, when I fell back in love with it, so I grew up turkey hunting with my dad. My dad is obsessed with deer hunting, but my dad always says, man, give me a spring morning when they're just hammering. It's just something about it. And it is. It's so different. Like, I love those cool October mornings, but man, those mornings that I had the experience this past spring were just phenomenal. Just memories forever I'll have. I could smell it, taste it, all that stuff, see it. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and man, it was a while there because of baseball and coaching and playing like as a young adult, so I didn't get out much. Like, obviously, I could have tried to make time, but I'd have to travel, all this type of stuff. And so it kind of got away from me. And this past year was like, I'm going full bore back into it. Cause my 2020 year, when COVID hit, we weren't teaching. So I went out a bunch and I was like chasing my tail for turkey. And then, this past year, man, I had fun doing it. And so this year I did not make the mistake. I already bought my second turkey tag for PA, even though I probably won't even be able to use it, but I bought it just in case. Cause last year was opening day. I killed my turkey and I'm walking. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't buy that extra one. I'm done. You know what I mean? It was like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. So you have to buy it the day before, at least at minimum the day before. So, yeah, man,
I'm up this year.
Yeah. That'd be sweet. But I'm with you, man. Yeah. I'm itching for, like, I would love to hunt like a field edge, have like, just see them come up and just, man, strutting. Like, I want to see that. I haven't encountered that because it's always been hardwood turkey hunting for me. Like, I've never had the opportunity to hunt like on a field or anything like that. And I'm dying to see like the full thing that you watch on TV or like on YouTube or whatever, when these guys are in the fields with them and they come in strutting, hammering down on the decoys. Like, it's none of
it's
that.
It's different, man. I love it. If you want a good laugh, check out my YouTube channel. You can watch me and my wife. We doubled up on opening day last year. And I can honestly say, Jeremy, I don't think I've ever been that hooting and hollering, fired up in my entire life. I swear to you, man. And that's what I love about turkey hunting, because it's like, it's, you know, whitetails, like, I'm a super, like, kind of a solo guy. Like, I love hunting with my friends, but at the end of the day, man, like, I'm going in. I really don't like to just hang and bang a tree stand with somebody else. It's totally cool for like a couple times a year, but I'm a solo guy. Turkey hunting, I love nothing more than like calling a bird in for a buddy and just, you know, you just get to catch up. It's like camaraderie of it. It's like a mixture of duck hunting and deer hunting, I would say, I guess.
I like that analogy.
But yeah, it really is kind of, because, you know, I mean, you're just, you get to hang out and shoot the shit and you're just having a good time. And then when a bird comes in, it's like, oh yeah, here we go. Yeah. Or like, you know, all of a sudden things can go from you laughing and carrying on to, oh, all right, he's over there. All right. You know,
exactly, man.
And I love that, man. It's just a blast.
Dude, that's awesome. Justin, man, I appreciate you coming on, dude, talking with me. I'm excited for our next episode, what we could get into, man. Where could people find you, listen, follow along, watch it, all that good stuff, brother?
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you having me on, Jeremy. It's been a blast talking with you, dude.
Absolutely.
So if you guys are interested in like mobile hunting and stuff, we've got the Running and Gunning podcast is our podcast, and Run and Gun podcast is I just changed the YouTube name. So we've got some good content on there. I'm trying to do a lot more content on there for turkey and deer and gear reviews and stuff like that. But I appreciate, feel free to reach out to me. I know I'm sure a lot of guys listening to this are, you know, you holler at Jeremy too. You know, I know you're a big mobile guy, so. Man, thank you so much. Dude, I do, man, appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's been a blast.
Absolutely, man. That was a quick 50 minutes, dude. I appreciate it. Well, everybody, make sure.
100%.
Make sure you go follow Justin and everything he's got going on. I'm telling you, really good person, good dude. I'm excited to have him on, excited to continue to have him on in the future as well. So check him out. We'll see you next week, everybody. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Go Wild, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler up.